You're listening to the Membership Geeks Podcast, bringing you proven practical tips and advice from the leading experts on growing a successful membership business.
What's up, membershippers? Welcome to another episode of the Membership Geeks Podcast. I'm Mike Morrison, your host for the show, and I'm so glad you're spending part of your day with me. This is the number one podcast for membership owners, sharing practical tips, advice, insight, and ideas on how to grow a membership business that will go the distance. And today I'm joined by a very special guest to talk all around the importance of using frameworks within your membership. You know, for so long, membership owners have just thrown content and features and all bells and whistles behind the paywall and hoped that that would be enough to make their membership valuable, to get people to join, and more importantly, to have them sticking around. However, these days, that simply won't cut it. And to be honest, it's never really been good enough. This is why you need a framework. Having a core signature framework that organizes, structures, streamlines your IP, your knowledge, your expertise in a way that is easy for your audience to consume, to understand, and helps you to help them get results and make progress. That can be a real game changer. And so Charlotte Crowther, this is all that she does. She works with experts and influencers to develop their signature framework, to take all of their expertise, all of their intellectual property, and turn it into something that feels more tangible, feels more structured, that you can build a real business around. So I first met Charlotte while speaking at an event down in Wimbledon, or Cambridge it was actually, Chris Ducker's event, Long Haul Leader Summit, where I was actually talking about like mental health and avoiding burnout and the way that businesses like memberships can help you to run things in a different way that actually, you know, protects your sanity. And so I was a fantastic event, lots of incredible people in the room, and Charlotte and I just got chatting in the queue for coffee, I believe. We started geeking out about the whole idea of frameworks. I'm a big, big fan of frameworks. We have a central framework inside Membership Academy, which is our roadmap, and within that, we've got a lot of little frameworks for teaching certain concepts. So we started really geeking out about it, and yeah, we decided afterwards we have to get on a podcast, we have to talk about this more and share with you the value of developing a framework around your expertise. So without any further ado, let's dive into my conversation with Charlotte Crowther about developing a signature framework for your membership business. Today's guest is Charlotte Crowther, the founder of Signature Framework. Charlotte helps people become the go-to expert in their field by helping them to codify and visualize their signature framework so they can leverage it in their marketing, sales, and products to scale their authority, impact, and revenue. And I'm very, very excited to talk to Charlotte today about the notion of frameworks and where they fit with online membership. So Charlotte, first of all, welcome to the Membership Geeks podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Excited after our chat at Chris's event in November to pick up the conversation here.
Oh yeah, just geeking out about frameworks of all things. Yeah, that's when you know you're at the right kind of event and in the right queue. So I think we really need to start by defining what a framework is, because I feel like it's one of those words that people don't always use correctly. Some people will throw together a basic course and then call it their framework when it's just a bunch of disconnected lessons. So what do we mean specifically when we're talking about a framework?
That's a great question, Mike. I love it. Get right to the heart of the matter. I think it's a broad term. And that is where it can create this misinterpretation and misuse. So a framework can be something as small as a really, what I call a tertiary framework, which helps you get something done. And it's like very concrete, you know, it's a checklist for doing your newsletter. And often, you know, people like to have an acronym, so it's kind of simple and memorable. But when a framework kind of has, you know, a capital F at the beginning of it, so it sort of, you know, is your framework, it's something that sort of represents your body of work, which you'll use in a course and a community, and it represents the thing that you are known for. So it has to be rigorous, has to stand the test of time, and it has to sort of be simple and clear and concise so people can associate you with that way of thinking or way of doing something. And so those kinds of frameworks with a capital F have more rigor to them. And there may be frameworks within that framework. That first level is what I call a primary framework, which is what people primarily know you for. But obviously you can't put everything in that framework because people would just get overwhelmed. So people might double click on, say, the first pillar of your framework and understand, okay, what's going on there. And I call that the secondary level. And then you have the tertiary level. So frameworks can be used in quite a few different ways.
All right, so yeah, so it's the overall, is it the overall structure, the overall methodology? Is it just having an acronym and something that rolls off the tongue for something? Or, you know, how do these kind of frameworks materialize and manifest within something like a membership?
Yeah. So the way I predominantly see them is, in simple terms, a methodology that's visualized. So a methodology is often very text, verbal based, doesn't necessarily have a diagram with it, whereas a framework tends to have a diagram as well as sort of language and explanation. So that would be the difference to a methodology. But the sort of backbone of a framework is it helps someone understand how to get from A to B. And that A to B might be a very big arc, which is your primary framework, or it might be a smaller arc. And so that's your secondary or tertiary framework.
Okay, I love that. And what sort of advantages does having this sort of, I suppose, the signature framework, as well as those, you know, secondary, tertiary frameworks, what kind of advantages does it give you to having these kind of things in place versus just, you know, for example, building out a Netflix style library of content? How does it make a difference?
Yeah, so that's another distinguishing factor. You could have a really kick-ass sort of primary framework that describes everything that you do, but it's not a signature until you give it a name that is proprietary to you. And that you've gone down the steps of trademarking. And it's not signature to you, are you unique to you, if you haven't created visuals that communicate the framework, that are on brand, that sort of show your vibe and help people remember it and associate that word or concept, a way of doing something with you. So that's when it kind of reaches that status. And to answer your question about why that versus a content library, is because in one view, people can see your whole way of working or thinking and point of view about something. Whereas a content library is a content library. I mean, it's big, there's a lot going on, you don't know where to start. It's a lot of information.
Do you feel, or do you find in the work that you've done with people on their frameworks, that is it more about the things that aren't in the framework than the things that are in it? Because I think audiences and consumers are getting so overwhelmed and bombarded with information that I feel more and more people just want the specificity, and they don't want to be told, you know, here's 1,000 things that could be useful. They want to be told, like, just the 10 things in the right order that are specific and useful for them. Like, am I right in that kind of thinking? I'm just thinking of my own preferences as a consumer.
Yeah, totally. You know, you're right in that a big part of what you see on the page also speaks to what isn't on the page or what you don't see. You know, there is a curation, a selection process that's happened to get to those 10 things, those 5 things, those 3 things. And part of the sort of question that's happening when someone's really refining, iterating, and developing their framework is, what are the key steps, the essential steps that will get someone from A to B? Because no one's got time, and what people are sort of paying for, whether that's attention and or dollars, is that blueprint that you have refined for them over often many years, you know, 5, 10, 15, where, you know, that expert's really done that thinking and made that as simple and as clear as possible to achieve like A, B result.
Yeah. And I know for ourselves within Membership Academy, some of the people listening will be members, and we have our membership roadmap, which is kind of our framework. And within that, I'm kind of like ticking little boxes in my head, because like, oh, cool, sounds like we're doing it right. Like, we've got those little secondary and tertiary
frameworks. I just find it makes it so much easier, not just on the big picture side of being able to say, okay, if you want to get from idea to launch, this is the path you follow and this is the order and we have the visual and it's very easy to understand. But also just how much easier it is to then draw on part of that as tools for solving, for answering certain questions that come up or other circumstances where we can say, well, actually, this is what we teach and we've got this little model and we've got this sort of thing. It's so much easier to have that as the North Star of what you're doing than it is to just be kind of sitting, coming up with content ideas from a blank page every time. So I think the big change in my own membership really came when we implemented this. With more and more people turning to AI and, you know, with search changing in a lot of ways and content being highly commoditized, do you think it's more important or do you think it's different how you approach a framework? And should every membership owner be looking to put this sort of thing at the heart of their membership to get a bit of an advantage?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. I bet when you created your framework, that took you a bit of time. No, there was a bit of sweat, blood and tears.
Long time. I think it took from setting a planet, because this was obviously working with, I think we introduced it in, in its current form, its final form. Like we made some, I don't want to say half measures, but there were a few iterations we went through first time round that were kind of a part of the reasoning of why we did it a certain way, was just looking at how much time we had available to throw into it. And I don't feel we ever actually stepped back and said, no, we need to do this right. We need to do this properly and fully flesh it out. Until like 2021, maybe in 2020. And from working with a body of work already, sitting down and deciding that, I think it was a solid 4 or 5 months of developing and then creating the content and then formalizing the structure and implementing it. So it was a beast. And yeah, I just updated it last year. And even the updating process, actually going back and re-examining everything and making sure everything was finely tuned, like, it wasn't a small thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thanks for sharing that, you know, and being really honest and vulnerable about that, because I think that's the thing. People underestimate the amount of cognition required to, you know, really connect those dots and make sure that things make sense and are in the right order and are related appropriately. And then you've got to give them names, show those relationships. And I think the sort of simple answer is, if you're the expert and this is your strength, your superpower, and it's taking you time to collect your thinking. I mean, imagine someone who's learning and you've given them a whole load of like fragmented information. They're trying to make sense of it. Moreover, they've got vibes and commitments. You know, there's something they've come to you for help with. Like, they're just going to fall through the gaps, you know, in one way after another, unless, you know, there's sort of sheer will. And of course, you get some brilliant students who have the capacity or ability to sort of navigate it, but that isn't the majority. So the competitive advantage is that, right? You close that gap. You've made crossing that bridge, taking action, so much easier. So they're more reliably going to get results. And AI is good, but AI doesn't have that experience that you have. And don't get me wrong, use it to help you at certain parts of the process, but you know, it's just not going to replace you, right? Mm. It just doesn't have that sort of first-hand experience. And that's just, again, one step. The other step is like visualizing it. And that, you know, AI is still in its infancy in that area. So I think it's, you know, use it as part of your brainstorming, creative process, asking questions, for sure. But ultimately, it's the human who's connecting those dots and using the language that you know will resonate with your people. And that creative process will also clarify your own thinking, which is going to help in your marketing, in your sales conversations. So it's also very much enabling that element of your business as well, which will help you make better products, create a better client experience, and just overall bring your business to the next level.
Yeah, I definitely found it really sharpened both my thinking, but also the way I was able to convey concepts, just being forcing myself to have that approach in making everything like framework driven. And so we've kind of recently extended. So our membership roadmap was kind of the framework, the pathway to launching a membership. Expanded on that now to the growth phase, which is obviously a huge part of the journey. And it's literally in progress now. I was working on slides for one of the lessons earlier today. And again, it's such a huge labor of love, but I'm finding as I'm codifying all of this, just the clarity I'm actually getting in, I've been doing this membership thing for about 15 years now. I've dealt with every possible question, scenario, or anything that comes up, but to actually sit down and crystallize, like, what is my stance on this? Like, what is, of all the ways I've talked about this, the best way of doing this? Like, and that really, I think, not just strengthens my conviction around the things that I'm seeing and spurs on thinking from a different angle, but also I'm looking at this and thinking, okay, I'm creating this as part of the membership product, but this is actually a framework that could lend itself to events, can lend itself to coaching, can lend itself to speaking. So it not just being a, how do we structure something for a product? So I actually know this is that next level mapping out of your expertise, essentially, that so much can be built off. Do you think that's the best kind of way to leverage that sort of framework, to actually look at it through that wider lens of, like, it's not just about figuring out what shape to put your educational material in within a course or a program. It's actually this is a map of your expertise.
Yeah, I love how you're thinking, Mike. And you're so spot on. And I can really hear how, just through the process of codifying your thinking, you're seeing how that can spin out in terms of your speaking, and actually I'll make your speaking more effective, because it'll be easier for people also in that way to understand what you're saying, because you've done the clarity in your thinking, and you've created a structure in which to communicate the concepts you want to share, and then people can remember the structure. And so from a learning design perspective, you're reinforcing key concepts, you're packaging it so it's easy for people to sort of pick up and use and remember you by, and refer you and share with others. And that's kind of the name of the game these days: be shareable, be easily understood and memorable, and so the more you sort of package your expertise, and again, because it's packaged, as you say, you can use it when you're thinking about your content pillars, when you're speaking, when you're developing a new lead gen, is like anything that you begin to standardize, it just makes your business like more robust and stable. And then all that work you can repurpose in other like touch points with your customers.
Definitely. And I think, again, kind of going back a little to the AI side, when we say, utilize it in sort of brainstorming or research and use it as a tool. And as I was going through the process of planning this growth roadmap expansion and looking into the retention framework, I remember running past like some ideas with ChatGPT around names, structures and stuff. And it does seem to be a habit of these AI tools, when they're coming up with acronyms and names for stuff, to churn out some terrible stuff. And I'm curious whether you're seeing all these different frameworks where, try and get it to come up with a framework for that uses the word retention or retain. And it would be things like, the first thing would be like, really think about this thing. And then the E would be, examine your thoughts about this. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's not an acronym. It's just like finding statements where the first word fits a thing. Are you seeing a lot as well? Are you seeing that happen a lot? Can you like detect when someone comes to you and it's like, ChatGPT told you what your framework should be? Like, what are some of the hallmarks of, I suppose, a good human created framework and asking ChatGPT to do it?
Do you know what? A good hallmark is, and humans do this, and it's a common thing, and I think it's a common thing because a lot of marketers do it, and so it has a lot of visibility. People think a framework needs to be an acronym. Mm. And I'm not against it, but often it creates this shoehorning thing, which is like what you just described. And AI is a, you know, a sort of another version of that, if so to speak. So I think I find is when you have refined your idea so much, it actually takes its own name, its own form. You actually don't need to force it. It just is. It just kind of exists. And the name, and sometimes there is a lovely acronym and it's like, you know, double whammy, fantastic. But it doesn't need to. And I think what people forget, and it might be a confidence in one's ideas, like the concept will hold itself. And if moreover, you have a visual to sort of communicate it, it really, people will never forget it. Yeah, it's so powerful.
Yeah, the thing is maybe it's just kind of determination for it to come across as clever. Like, that's quite clever that it all fits into this acronym. But yeah, like when you actually examine it, it's like, no, that's really overly forced.
Yeah, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Like, if that person's doing it and it's helped, it's, you know, it could be like an evolution of their thinking. It's not like necessarily the final framework. It's one that works for now. And that, you know, time is short. Like, there's no dissing around it at all. It's just, I guess how much, you know, some ideas you want to refine further and also warrant that like extra care and sort of because it is the thing you want to be known for. But sometimes it is more of that tertiary framework and something simple and straightforward to sort of bring it together. It's just like absolutely fine. Yeah.
I love that. All right. So people are listening and they're thinking, you know what? Yeah, I'm tired of my membership just being kind of a disconnected collection of ideas and thoughts. I want to actually put some structure around this, codify it, make it mine, make it what I'm known for. Let's get practical. If someone's mapping out their strategy for a new membership or they're running an existing one with just a bunch of stuff sitting there, where do they start in this whole process of developing a signature framework?
An obvious place to start that can get often missed is to really define what point A is and what point B is. What is the methodology we're designing for? Like, what is the result we want people to achieve? And then sort of design backwards from there. What are those steps? Sometimes it also requires like mindsets shifts to kind of consider things. And I think as well, when you have something that you're aiming for, you do become more efficient and effective in terms of thinking, what are those concrete steps to really achieve that goal? So that's a place to start. Second is to reset what your sort of premises, your point of view, where you're coming from to achieve that. So, you know, for example, one expert I work with, Tamara Grominski, she helps product market leaders sort of grow in their career. You know, so she's working with generally sort of mid senior product marketers. And her sort of premise was you need different modes to be a leader. And she kind of identified five. And her sort of thing is, what is your leadership range? So how are you using these modes? Often we tend to just lean into our strengths, which may be one or two modes. And the other three modes are important too. So how can you sort of explore expanding those? So it became really clear, you know, what her premise is. And so as we, you know, define those kind of key pillars, key modes, we kind of knew the direction, so what A and B was, and sort of what the premise was to achieve that direction.
Yeah, and so thinking of the membership world, I know you've worked with memberships as well on doing this. I know one of our students, Marisha from SLP Now, I know it's someone who's worked with you on their framework. How have you seen frameworks successfully implemented into online memberships, and what was it about them that really hit the mark?
I love Marisha. I'm so glad that we have her in common. Great human being. So SLP Now is such a good example. You know, she has three very simple sort of pillars in her framework. And she, like any sort of client that I work with, you know, once you've sort of done that thinking, you sort of create spaces you know, in your community to discuss like powerful practice, in her case, also kind of streamlined operations or intentional growth were her sort of three key pillars. And one of the things I love is that she also has like a really impressive sort of curriculum, which is connected with like the tool, her sort of core product that she offers speech language practitioners. And the sort of program is color coordinated to the different pillars that she has. So it's really easy for people to visually understand, you know, where their learning content or discussion content in the community is connected to the framework. So that's something that makes it really easy for people to navigate and understand where to find things and learn things and build on things and share and discuss things. And also, if you create an assessment as part of your lead generation and or onboarding to the community, and you're using the same language as your framework with the pillars and sort of components, you're really giving people a roadmap to success. You're helping them see from the beginning their strengths and weaknesses. And depending on the how you've constructed your assessment, you could also be giving them recommendations on what things to perhaps look at first, given your score and what your strengths are. So yeah, what's so exciting for framers is that it just opens a sort of creative toolbox of ways in which, you know, your members really appreciate sort of learning and getting support from you.
Yeah, I think integrating it like beyond just it being a course or just being a section on a website, like that kind of integration, like you said, actually factoring it into your lead generation, that's going to create a much more personal, tailored feeling experience from someone coming into your membership. And if they can go from that lead gen with an assessment into engaging with your membership content pretty much without skipping a beat, then they're going to feel like they are so in the right place. And I think that I'm definitely seeing in the membership world, personalization, tailored pathways, those kind of things are what are really hitting the mark for people. Because again, information is not a problem. People don't have a problem accessing information. It's the implementation side of things. And actually, if you have that structure underpinning absolutely everything, and actually, I love what you say about Marisha having the structure of the framework actually be mirrored and reflected within the community as well, like just threading it in amongst absolutely everything, then that's just going to make the member experience so much slicker and so much more personal to each person coming in.
Totally. And I often hear people saying about their students how much they use the language that the framework has provided, and it gives them a way of understanding and sharing concepts with one another, and it kind of creates that kind of tribe sort of feel. You know, it doesn't have to be too strong, but it creates a common language and understanding, right? I mean, what often a key factor of a successful community is that everyone's on a transformation journey together.
Yeah.
So when you give them the building blocks of that, you know, you just make it easier for everyone to connect and get on with doing the implementation bit, the hard bit, versus kind of getting lost with like the navigation and what's what and where's where.
Yeah, so I can imagine if people listening are thinking, okay, I can understand the way in which you utilize a framework for an audience where they are on a very clear kind of journey. They're on a linear path between where they are now and where they want to be. But when you have memberships where it's a little bit less about an outcome, it's maybe more about mastery. So there's no end in sight. It's just continued refinement and enhancement, or even maybe just more about just connecting with each other and having accountability and support. How do you see frameworks being deployed in those contexts where maybe it's not a framework through educational material, but it's perhaps a framework through, you know, like how to connect and build a network, or, you know, it's a framework for like a methodology for learning as opposed to structuring the learning content itself. Like, do you see frameworks in use within those other types of communities and scenarios?
Yeah, definitely. I actually worked with Keith Barazzi on his Beyond Connections program, all about sort of, yeah, building your network and building connections with others. And I mean, it's funny, isn't it? You know, learning can have beginning and end points, and it's always a kind of continual learning sort of journey. So I'm not sure about you, but I find that often, what's so good about a framework is it gives a structure for which people sort of understand and learn and apply things. And it's sort of like a mental model of how to sort of think and approach things. And you sort of, you know, do it once, but there's a lot of value in the repetition of that sort of mastery. And so I think there's sort of a can be an understanding where, you know, sure, you're kind of doing this because you're in this cohort-based program. So, you know, this week it's the mindset module. But you kind of know you'll be revisiting it. And so the fact that, you know, that part of the curriculum is just really thought through and those exercises are really timely as part of your learning experience, but now you can go back and revisit those. You know, whether that's in your own time or if you join a mastermind after the cohort program, I think, again, that sort of structured, coherent content just really lends itself for different kinds of learning, and we all have such different learning styles. So having that structure enables, you know, all the different kinds of ways of thinking and learning and sharing to sort of happen, which, you know, without, you know, it's just, it's very linear, it's very verbal, it's fragmented, it's this slide deck or that presentation or that webinar, and yeah, you just lose people, you know, and then people don't necessarily renew their membership or recommend, you know, the community to others because, you know, they had a great time, but they can't necessarily articulate, you know, why join this one over that or what they've been able to do as a result. And all those things add up, all those steps. So the more you can sort of add to that momentum, the better for everyone, really. Yeah.
Definitely. I think everybody likes to have a plan. Like a master plan that's behind everything. And I think anyone who's kind of got that, you know, if they're a little uncertain going into something, whether it is an educational experience or a purely community driven experience, like knowing that there is a structure, a reference point, like there is a method to the madness is always going to reassure people and make them more likely to actually jump in and engage the way that you want them to. It's definitely something I think all membership owners should be seriously exploring because we're all experts and influencers, but so often that expertise is just so disorganized and in no way cohesive or even consistent. And so actually codifying that stuff can just bring so much value from what I've seen, definitely. What would you say are some of the biggest missteps and mistakes that people make before we kind of set them off to go and piece their framework together? What are some of the potential falls they could make if they're trying to bring their framework together?
I think people can underestimate how difficult it is and, you know, either sort of do something quickly, ChatGPT acronym it sort of thing, as you say, and then they're sort of building a business around it. So it's just like, and then they sort of think, well, maybe it wasn't worth it, really. And then you just kind of keep muddling through. So I think the common mistake is to underestimate the time it takes and to take that time. If you had taken time over the years to sort of collect your thinking and begin your framework and sort of share updates as you go along or implement small frameworks at certain parts of your community or in speaking engagements that you might do. It just means that when you do sit down, have a bit more time to connect the dots, you're not starting from scratch. You have some collections of organized thinking. One, that will speed up the framework development process. Two, it'll help you sort of test in real time your ideas and thinking. And three, it will just make it better. So I think it, a common mistake is to leave it too late versus sort of start sooner. And I think, you know, what I love about what you've shared is, you know, you really enjoy it now and you sort of, you know, you're like, I was working on this bit today and it, you know, you had like an hour or two just to sort of think through it, you know, and you're expanding your framework, right? So it is this kind of continual thing that will only bring positive gains to your business and bring greater clarity, you know, in the sort of immediate short term as well as that sort of longer term horizon. So like start now, don't leave it late, begin organizing and testing out and refining your thinking, document it, and be patient and sort of enjoy the process.
I think the most successful memberships that I see, they have some sort of signature framework. They have a roadmap. They have their key pillars to something. They have even in memberships that are just, they're just coaching memberships. So there's nothing being taught, but they have a coaching methodology. Like this is the cycle we go through on coaching calls. Like they've been night and day compared to memberships that don't have that sort of thing at the heart of what they're doing. So great advice. And I'm certain we'll have a whole bunch of people who are listening now going off to hopefully start mapping out their framework without the help of ChatGPT, because you're just going to end up with some really terrible gimmicks and acronyms. But no, I'm looking forward to seeing what frameworks people put together. And if they want a little more help, a little more insight from you on developing those frameworks, where can they find out a bit more from you?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So my website is signatureframework.com, and you can learn a bit more about me, the process, the sort of work I do with clients. And I have a newsletter as well, so you can subscribe there if you want to follow along the journey.
Perfect. I would very, very highly recommend doing it. Having a solid framework in your membership is a game changer. And I'm very, very grateful for you coming on the podcast and sharing your advice on how people can start to either implement a framework into their membership for the first time, or give that existing kind of half measure framework a little kick up the butt to make it work a little bit harder for them. Thanks ever so much, Charlotte. This has been really, really insightful, and I appreciate you coming onto the podcast.
Thanks, Mike. It's been so fun. I've loved hearing about your framework journey too.
All right. Thanks again to Charlotte for coming on the show, for such a great conversation. Hopefully now you have a better understanding of just how important a core framework is to your membership business. And actually not just to your membership, to everything that you do. Now, a framework makes so many things possible, not just within your membership, but also in the surrounding business ecosystem. And we teach frameworks as a core part of helping you to actually piece your membership strategy together. Big part of what we teach in our launch roadmap is crafting a valuable offer. And at the heart of all of that is a framework. Your framework is the thing that actually helps you deliver on the promise of your membership. It helps you to deliver results, helps you to enable people to make the progress that you're seeking, and it helps you to better communicate to your wider audience exactly what it is that you do and what transformation you help to affect within your membership. So if you haven't already taken all of that fantastic stuff that's in your brain, all of that experience, that expertise, that insight, that knowledge, and shaped it into a concise, clear, and easy to follow framework, then that is something you should be looking to do within your business as a priority. So thanks again to Charlotte, and thanks of course to you for spending part of your day with me. I so truly appreciate it. If this episode has helped you out in any way, I'd love to hear from you. Hit me up on social media. I am at Membership Geeks pretty much everywhere. And if you're so inclined, I would truly appreciate if you could leave a nice, shiny 5-star review to let me know how the Membership Geeks podcast has helped you out. It helps me to know that I'm doing my job well, but also every review helps us to reach more people and make more of a difference in the membership industry. So thanks in advance for those of you who do go off to your podcast app and hit those 5 stars. And thanks to all of you who are already subscribed, who are already reviewed us, for your continued support. You know I appreciate you. And that's it from me for this week. I'll be back again next week with another episode of the Membership Geeks podcast. Bye for now. If you enjoyed this week's episode of the Membership Geeks podcast, we invite you to check out membershipacademy.com. Membership Academy is the original membership about memberships, and it's the essential resource for anyone at any stage of starting, growing, and running a successful online membership business. Whether you're still trying to figure out what your idea is going to be and you need some help making it a reality, or whether your website is already up and running and you're looking for ways to grow and attract new members, then Membership Academy can help you to get to the next level. Not only do you get access to our step-by-step membership roadmap, our extensive training library, and exclusive member-only discount and tools, you'll also become part of our supportive, active community of membership owners that will help you along the way in your journey with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All of this and more make Membership Academy the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow a successful membership business. Check it out and join the community at membershipacademy.com.